Father, we do thank you so much for you, for who you are, Lord, and for how you love us so much. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's your desire to meet with us here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we prayed earlier, as we have given this service to you, and really given ourselves to you in this service, and as we've worshiped you in song, Lord, we now give ourselves to you and give our worship to you by giving an ear to your word. And we pray that you would speak to us from your word now. Speak to us through your word. Be glorified in this time that we spend in your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's teaching is, When Heaven Broke Its Silence. Have you ever not heard from somebody for a long time, and then just kind of out of the blue, they send you a text or an email, or they call you on the phone? Has that ever happened to you guys? It's happened to me. And it kind of gets your attention, right? When you look down there at the caller ID, it's like, oh, you know, what's been going on with them? Yeah, I haven't heard from them in a long time. Or maybe you think, oh, man, haven't heard from them in a long time. I wonder if I did something wrong. I wonder if I'm going to hear about it right now. Yeah. Oh, no, I might get chewed out right now kind of deal. But imagine you and your family not hearing from someone for 400 years. Bernie, that's happened to you, right? Yeah. No. But 400 years, that's how long God has been silent with Israel till the angel Gabriel was sent to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. There had been 400 years of silence. And see, ever since God created Adam and Eve, he desired fellowship. He desired communication with his creation. And as you read through the Old Testament, you see that there is this constant stream of communication with mankind. It starts out with Adam, and then Noah, and then the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Moses and Joshua, and then the prophets. All received direct communication from God, and they passed on those messages from God to God's people. And the last message that God sent to his people was through his prophet Malachi. And listen to some of the things that God said to his people who happened to be living in a backslidden condition at that time. In fact, the first two chapters of Malachi, it's pretty much all rebuke. They're getting spanked. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, God says this, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now notice the word Lord. It's in all capitals. Now we know that what that it means is the translators are letting us know that that word is actually the proper name for God. It's God Almighty. It's really YHWH, Yahweh or Yahweh or Jehovah. We're not really sure how to pronounce it because the Jews a long time ago took out the vowel points so that sinful man could never say the holy name of God. But that's what that word Lord with all caps means. It's God's proper name. And notice that it's He Himself that is speaking, that He would send, as he says, my messenger. That's a reference to John the Baptist, as we'll see. And notice, God himself says, he will prepare the way before me. Did you notice that? He'd prepare the way before me, and John the Baptist did that. Folks, this is so important that you notice that John the Baptist would prepare the way before Yahweh himself, before me. Now, who did Jesus... Or who did, answer the question already, who did John the Baptist go before? Who did he prepare the way for? Jesus, right? Jesus is God. That's what the Bible's saying. We were talking about that a while back, a few weeks ago, that even in the Old Testament, you can see the deity of Jesus. And when he says he'll prepare the way before me, and John the Baptist prepares the way before Jesus, Jesus is God, folks. He is the second person of the Trinity. And the Lord Jesus did suddenly come to his temple, didn't he? In fact, twice. Once at the beginning of his ministry, and the second time right at the end of his ministry, about a week before he would be crucified. And both times when he came to the temple suddenly, he cleansed the temple, right? And folks, now look, well, we'll have it on the wall there. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It's the very last thing that God says to his people before he's quiet for 400 years. Malachi 4, 4 through 6, God himself speaking, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, the great and dreadful day of the Lord refers to the great tribulation and the second coming of Christ and all of that that will happen in that time. And we believe that Elijah himself will be one of the prophets there in Revelation 11 who prophesies before Christ's second return. And these two prophets will prophesy for about 3.5 years. But the messenger of chapter 3, verse 1 of Malachi, who had come to prepare the people at Christ's first coming, as we'll see, came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Jesus himself said of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, 14, "And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come." But that's how God closes out the Old Testament. Those are the last things that God speaks to his people, and then he's silent. Now, you're open to Luke chapter 1, right? So we fast forward now about 400 years as heaven breaks its silence. And what a silence breaker. Now, first, Luke sets the scene. He gives us the time, the place, and the people involved in this event. Look at verses 5 through 10. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." So this happens in the days of Herod. That would be Herod the Great. He ruled Judea from about 37 to 4 BC. And Herod was a tyrant of the worst sort. He was one bad dude. He was a guy that was so bad that he had 9 or 10 of his wives killed. And he had his sons killed, sometimes for no reason. But most of the time, it was just that he was paranoid. He thought somebody was plotting to take over the throne from him. And so he had him killed. It was a common saying back then that it was better to be one of Herod's sows than one of his sons. You had more chance of surviving if you were a pig that belonged to Herod than one of his sons. And folks, you know what? There are no accidents with God. Do you know the word oops is not in God's vocabulary? Everything God does is on purpose and is for a specific reason. And it is during this dark time in Israel's history when God chose to break his silence with mankind. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says, were both righteous during this dark time. And yeah, it's possible to be righteous in unrighteous times, even in times like we're living in, folks. If they could do it, we can do it. And as we've seen in Leviticus and in Numbers, that the priests and those tending to the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting, which later on would be the temple, they were to come from Levi, which both Zacharias and Elizabeth were. But again, there's no accidents with God. It's no accident that the priest who just happened to be doing his 2-week service in the temple was named Zacharias. Zacharias means Yahweh has remembered. And his wife's name, Elizabeth, means God is my oath. Let that sink in for a second. What God is about to break his silence with, was the fulfillment of the oath that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. He's about to let his people know that he has indeed remembered his promise and his people to save them. So get that picture. Dark days for Israel. It's been 400 years since God has spoken to his people. Zacharias is in the temple. He's praying. He's burning incense to the Lord. And crowds of people are outside are praying. In verses 11 and 12, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now to me, that's a little funny. Okay? Now, think about it. You've got a priest of the Old Testament order, the order of Levi. He's in the temple. He's burning incense to the Lord, praying for himself and his people. Folks, he's seeking the Lord. And an angel shows up in the temple, and he's struck with terror. He's terrified. Now, shouldn't he have been expecting an angel or maybe the Lord himself to speak? Do you know at this time, when you really get down to what was going on and all, there was an anticipation within Israel because of other prophecies that God had made. And you look in Daniel, you can actually tell right when Jesus would ride up in that triumphant entry. We've looked at that before. They were anticipating, man, it should be around this time. You know, we should be seeing the Messiah real soon. There was an anticipation there. But he's not expecting anything to happen. He's just in there. Remember, he's an old guy. And he's been serving the Lord for years. And this has never happened before. This is a real new thing. An angel pops up while he goes in there to burn incense and pray. So it freaks him out. But how about you? Would you freak out if while you were praying, all of a sudden an angel appeared or God himself answered you? Probably, huh? Kind of thing. But you know what? I think this really should speak to us that so often we kind of get into our grind. We do what we're supposed to do. We read our chapter a day to keep the devil away. We pray in the morning, we pray in the afternoon, and okay, I pray over my food and all that stuff. And a lot of times we're praying and we're doing our thing, never expecting God to really do something in response to our prayers. Folks, we should anticipate God doing something, shouldn't we? Not sending an angel or anything like that. You know, you could debate whether that would go on today or not or whatever, but the deal is, shouldn't we expect God to do something in response to our prayers? He promised he would, right? Talked a little bit about that last week, about praying. Folks, we should expect God to do something. We shouldn't be freaked out if God does something because we've been praying. Now look at verses 13 through 17. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, did you get that? Did you realize what was going on right there? The angel, who we'll find out is Gabriel, he picks right up with the last thing that the Lord said to his people, the last thing God promised to do before the 400 years of silence, that he would send his messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. What this angel is telling Zacharias here is, you and your wife, you're going to have a son, and he's the messenger. It's like, wow. Now, look at verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The wording in the New International Version makes this a little clearer what Zacharias was actually saying to the angel. In the NIV, it says, Zacharias asked the angel, How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. See, Zacharias doesn't believe the angel, folks. He really doesn't believe. He's actually asking the angel to prove it. He's asking him for a sign. Now, Zacharias, he brings up this physical impossibility that he's an old man and his wife is well advanced in years. He said, hey, show me a sign. Look at this, yeah? I'm old, so is my wife, kind of thing. But folks, remember, he's a priest, right? He's a priest during the Old Testament times. He would have been familiar with the Old Testament, right? He would have been familiar with Abraham and Sarah. I mean, everybody was familiar with that story. And folks, Abraham, 100 years old, Sarah, 90 years old, when she conceives, he should have known, right? In fact, Genesis 18:11 says that Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. I like the way the NET Bible, the New English Translation, words it. Real clear. Sarah had long since passed menopause. Da. You know what? Zacharias knew this. You know, he would have known this. He would have been locked in there. And really, when you get right down to it, is anything too hard for God? You'd think, okay? You want a sign? You would think that an angel staring you in the face in the temple while you're burning incense and praying, that would be enough of a sign, right? I mean, wouldn't it do it for you? Okay, hey, never happened to this. Like, okay, you know, we're having a kid. But no, he's asking for a sign. Now, verses 19 and 20, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. It's like, dude, you know who I am? I'm Gabriel. I hang out with the Lord. He's the one that sent me here to give you this good news. You don't want to believe in the good news? Well, then fine. You need some time out. Maybe that'll convince you. So he's mute. He can't talk. Now, it does say, we just read a little bit ago, that Zacharias was a righteous man, right? Folks, he wasn't perfect, though. There's nobody that is perfect. No pastor, no elder, no deacon, especially me. Okay, there is not one of us that are perfect. And you know what? I am so glad that God lets us see the imperfections of the people that He uses. Because you know what? That gives me hope. Lord, if you can use guys like that, if you can use people that doubt you, oh, Lord, then you could use me, huh? And folks, He can use you. Don't ever think that you have to wait until you've reached some kind of spiritual plateau where, you know, you're not leaving footprints when you walk, you know, that you never sin anymore. You got to be perfect. If God was going to wait until we were all perfect before He used us, He'd be waiting until the rapture. He'd be waiting until He took us home, because that's the only time we're going to be perfect. That's the only time that we're going to be completely like Jesus, is when we see Him face to face. He was a righteous man, but He wasn't perfect. And of all people, though, a priest of God, he should have been quick to believe the word from the Lord concerning what God had promised him, right? Concerning what God had promised the nation of Israel. They had these promises. And like I said, it was around this time that they were expecting, because they knew all the prophecies, you put them all together, man, any day now. Zacharias should have been expecting this. He should have been anticipating God's word being fulfilled. But he wasn't. Folks, you and I, we've got the written word of God. The Bible says of itself that it was breathed out by God. Every bit of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God, and we can trust it. Folks, may we be quick to believe God's Word. When we read it and God speaks to us through His Word, then we would say, all right, that's what God says, I believe it. That's it. That settles it. Now, verses 21 through 25, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So, get that picture. Zacharias, he's been in there burning incense and praying for himself and for the people. And the angel, you know, speaks to him. He's in there a long time, a lot longer than normal. And the people, the crowds that are outside praying, they're going, "What's going on, man? What's going on?" And then he comes out, he can't speak. You know, he's motioning with them, he's begging, you know, and they get it. Hey, you know what? Something happened in there. Something real out of the normal. And they don't know what, and he ain't telling. So it's just something happened. So after his days of service were completed, Zach and Liz, they go home, they have a second honeymoon, and she conceives. And then you think about it, God speaking now. And have you ever had one of those friendships that you don't hear from the person for a long time, but every time you hook back up with them, it's like you pick up right where you left off, and you just keep talking, and you, oh man, it's like you never were apart. That's kind of what's happening here. After this 400 years of silence, after that's over, God speaks through an angel to Zacharias, picking up right where he left off. Right where he left off in Malachi. And God isn't finished speaking to mankind either. He continues to speak just like the old days. Look at verses 26 through 28. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice! Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" So 6 months has passed since God sent the angel to Zacharias. Now he sends same angel, Gabriel, to this virgin named Mary, who's engaged to a man named Joseph. And notice there it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her." Mary was indoors. We get that from here, that he came indoors where she's at. But the movies usually portray Mary as being half asleep in bed, or maybe asleep and kind of awakened, and you don't know if this is a real appearance of an angel or it's a vision or something like that. But the Bible doesn't say that she was in her bed or even in her bedroom. It just says that she was indoors. She could have been in the kitchen doing dishes. We don't know that. And you know what? God often speaks to us if we're listening. During the mundane, during the normal daily routine. You know that? God wants to speak to us. He wants to remind us of His Word. He wants to remind us of something that He said to us in His Word or whatever. And He does it. You see that in the Scripture, that God speaks to His people during just kind of normal daily routines. Mary, we don't know what she was doing, but whatever she was doing, we don't know. But He speaks to her there. Gideon, remember him? He's out threshing wheat. And that's a comical story too, because he's threshing wheat in a wine press. You don't do that. He's hiding out from Israel's enemies. And yet he's doing his thing and God appears. You know, "Oh, mighty man of valor." Huh? Me? Right. Sure. But David, you know, often God would speak to David while he was just out in the field, tending his sheep kind of thing. You know, and you think about how God brought Philip, the evangelist, to that Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he was just going on his way home. He had been to Jerusalem, he was on his way home, and he just happened to be reading Isaiah. And God has Philip, "Go up, join that guy." You know, "Hey, what you reading? You understand that?" "Well, no, how can I explain it?" "Well, hey, come on up. Yeah, you can explain it to me." And the guy goes and gets baptized, and poof, Philip's gone, and the Ethiopian goes on his way. But folks, we should always be walking so close with the Lord, we should always really be examining ourselves and making sure that sin is not taking up residency in our lives that would hinder our communication with God, that would hinder Him interacting with us. We should always be living so close to Him that we would actually be expecting Him to speak to us at any time. And usually it will be through His Word that He will speak to us. I shared with you last week how, when I was a young Christian, how reading about forgiving, you know, it was like God's hand came out of the Bible and poked me in the chest. You guys have experienced things like that, where it's like you're reading and all of a sudden you know that God is speaking to me through that passage right there. That's me that God's talking to. And oftentimes it's that way when we're reading His Word personally at home or something. Sometimes it's at church. Sometimes God will put on myself or one of the other pastors or whatever, you know, the things to teach. And sometimes we'll use an illustration or example or something like that. And you go, whoa, how did he know I just did that last week? Or how did he know that this is going on? And you know, wow, God just spoke to you, kind of thing. Or sometimes listen to the radio. Listen to a pastor teaching on the radio or a TV or something like that. And you hear a teaching and you know, God's speaking to me. That's what I needed to hear. Or maybe another believer. Somebody at church. I've seen that happen so many times. During the greeting time, even or after church. It's talking and sharing, you know, and you maybe quote a verse, oh yeah, you know, God spoke to me about this, blah, blah, blah. And you, oh man, I needed to hear that. God still speaks today, folks. We need to have our hearts ready to hear when God speaks. Verses 29 through 33. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, folks, Mary's not a priest. She's not in the temple. She's not burning incense. And she probably wasn't even praying at the time. You know, she might have been doing dishes. She might have been cooking. Might have been cleaning house or something, you know? And all of a sudden, poof, there's a big old angel right in front of her. He starts talking to her. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. She's got every right to be terrified. You know, what a greeting, huh? And consider what Gabriel has just told her now. You're going to have a son. Name him Jesus. Jesus, literally, means Yahweh is salvation. And he tells her he'll be the Son of the Highest. He'd be the Son of God. And then he says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Mary knows what this means. She's a good Jewish girl. She's been brought up in a good Jewish family. She knows what that means. She knows that the angel is saying, your son will be the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. What a silence breaker, huh? That's some awesome communication from God. Now look at Mary's response, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now understand, Mary is not doubting Gabriel like Zacharias did. She's not asking for a sign. A little bit different. She's probably in her teens. Her parents have already had the talk with her. She knows about the birds and the bees. And so she says, how's this going to happen? I don't know a man. The NIV words it a little more clear. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? See, folks, she's not doubting the angel. She's just simply asking about the mechanics of the whole thing. How's this going to happen? You know what, folks? Don't ever be afraid to bring your sincere questions to God. He can handle them. Now, it's not... Yeah, I'm not talking about those stupid questions that people, hey man, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? It's like, those are stupid questions, you know? One of the old-timing guys a couple hundred years ago was asked one of those lame questions by somebody. Well, okay, man, you said that God exists from eternity, man, way, way, way back in eternity. Like, go on, kind of deal. Well, what did God do before he created the earth, huh? What do you do? Just twiddle his thumbs? And this guy had enough of this guy's questions. He says, well, you know what he did? He whittled clubs to beat people over the head that would ask stupid questions like that. But folks, understand, we do sometimes have a problem understanding some of the things that God says and some of the things that He does or wants to do. Bring your questions to Him. If they're sincere, if they're honest, God can handle that. He'll give you an answer. Look at how Mary gets an answer. Look at 35 through 37. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." What an answer, huh? He's telling her, here's how it's going to happen. God is going to do a miracle inside of you. He'll cause you to become pregnant with a son. You're going to be his mom, but God is his father. And by the way, this isn't the only miracle that God's doing right now. Your relative Elizabeth, the old gal who was barren, she's 6 months pregnant right now. For with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, that's really, that phrase right there, that's the problem that most of the folks who don't believe in the virgin birth or don't believe in the deity of Jesus, in the death and resurrection of Jesus and all that, that's the problem they have. They don't believe that last statement. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Understand, folks, that for God to do anything that we would consider a miracle is no big deal with Him. He could do anything because He's God. He created everything. Think about that. If He created this whole universe, that means He's outside of time, space, and matter. He's outside of His creation. And for Him to reach inside of His creation, do a little tweaking, do a little adjusting, that's no big deal, right? He's God. For God, nothing is impossible. For us, lots of things are impossible. For God, nothing is. Now, Mary believes and accepts God's will for her life. Look at her response in verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary believed the word that God had given Gabriel for her. So it's mission accomplished and back to heaven for Gabriel. Because Mary believed God's word, folks, she got excited. And in fact, you know how you gals are, right? You know, you get excited about something, something happens to you and it's a good thing. You just got to share it, right? You know, right? You want to share it with your girlfriends. You want to share it with somebody, right? And some of you gals are going, "Not me." Yeah, right. Now, who better than Elizabeth? Elizabeth would no doubt have a lot to share with Mary too, right? They both had a lot in common. Both had received communication from heaven after 400 years of silence. So very soon after her encounter with Gabriel, Mary went to visit Elizabeth and stayed with her for 3 months. You can and you should read the rest of chapter 1 later. Not now, but later. To see what happens when they meet, because it's awesome. But folks, at this point now, heaven's silence was broken. And just as in the Old Testament times, where there was a steady stream of communication from heaven to God's people before that 400 years of silence, since that silence was broken, there has been a steady stream of communication from heaven to God's people. And even now, God continues to speak. See, both John the Baptist and Jesus were born, and they had their respective messages for mankind. And the writer of the book of Hebrews opens his letter in this way. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And folks, God still speaks to His creation. The Holy Spirit speaks to mankind, drawing us to Jesus, convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, just as Jesus said He would. The Holy Spirit also speaks to every believer's heart, assuring us of salvation, reminding us of the things that Jesus has said, like we've been seeing on Wednesday nights. And as we said before, God is still speaking to us through His Word, the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Folks, the Bible, contrary to what some people teach or say, is not a dead book. It is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you've been cut by it once in a while. I know I have. But folks, God is also speaking to the world through His followers that obey Him when they go out into all the world and share the gospel, the good news that God has for us, that He loves us, that He sent His Son to die in our place, and by faith in Him, we can be saved for eternity. God still speaks. Still speaks through His followers as we share those messages, those simple things like Jesus. When He said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, God speaks through us when we carry those kind of messages to the people that are lost. God wants us to be used by Him to speak to those that don't know Him. Folks, God is still speaking, but are we listening? Here in this Christmas season, may we be listening for God to speak to us. And may we daily seek Him by prayerfully reading His Word, the Bible. And may we be quick to believe those things that He shows us in His Word, and also be quick to share His Word with those around us. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for breaking that silence. We thank You so much, Lord, for communicating Your love to us by sending us Your Son to die in our place. Father, we thank You and pray, Lord, that we would be right where You want us to be. Help us, Lord, to hear You daily. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning that You've spoken to that doesn't know You, that has never put their trust in You and what You did, Jesus, for them on the cross, I pray, Lord, that right now they would put their trust in You. That while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, that they, Lord, would turn their lives to You. They would put their trust in Your Word, the Word that You said that You died in their place. And Father, I pray that all of us would go from here expecting to hear from You, anticipating You speaking to us, and that we would daily seek You through prayer and reading Your Word. And Lord, also that we would be ready to share Your Word with those in our world. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.